Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. After 47 years as a top attraction on HBO, Showtime, and Paramount Plus, Inside the NFL moved to the CW last Tuesday night. What new tricks will year 48 bring to this long-running source of pro football highlights and comments? Executive producer Ross Tedover joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. The very interesting crowdfunding powered force behind The Chosen is working on and working up Gabriel and the Guardians, an anime-inspired toon fantasy series. You'll meet creator Jason Moody and a special surprise guest later this hour. Also ahead, the latest on the Charter Disney and TV talent disputes, our classic trivia question, and the Spanish language United States scripted standstill. That's your takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast sites. It's just in. Tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. 85 degrees at the top of the hour, and if you're hearing any thunder in the background, yes, in our neck of New York, it is starting to thunder and maybe some lightning in the next few minutes. It's all part of your Friday afternoon here on the program All About TV's current and future. 85 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us wherever you may be tuning in. And I want to welcome those of you that are tuning in on two new podcast affiliates that have joined us this week. One is Anytime Player, and the other is Pod Night. So for those of you checking us on those sites, thank you very much for tuning in. We have some wonderful guests for you over the next hour and a half. So join in and use this number to give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. Chat room is open and in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune screen. Follow the instructions of TV Live with you. Ross Tedover, the executive producer of Inside the NFL, will join us from the studios of NFL Films in New Jersey after these news notes. No movement one way or another is the situation at this hour for both the Charter Walt Disney Channel blackout, now in week two, and the pair of strikes by the Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA on TV and film producers. Negotiations between Charter and Disney to resolve their matter are going on, while negotiations among the TV Film Producers Alliance, known as AMPTP, SAG-AFTRA, and the Writers Guild are not. Now, quickies, NBC and Peacock will present a two-hour Christmas at the Opry special December 7th. Wyona will host the show from Nashville's iconic Grand Ole Opry House. Next Tuesday's MTV Video Music Awards performance lineup is set. On hand, Nicki Minaj, Demi Lovato, Stray Kids, Olivia Rodrigo, Lil Wayne, and Chelsea Ballerina. Popular book series Diary of a Wimpy Kid comes to TV in animated special form December 8th on Disney+. Cabin Fever's voice cast includes Wesley Kimmel, Erica Serra, and Hunter Dillon. Clive Owen's turn as Private Eye Sam Spade will play early next year on AMC and AMC+. Monsieur Spade, filmed entirely in France, has Emmy winners Scott Frank and Tom Fontana as executive producers. And Telemundo's sister cable net Universo will offer IndyCar racing, the Grand Prix of Monterey, Sunday afternoon before connecting with Telemundo and Peacock for the Dallas Cowboys-New York Giants NFL game that night, kicking off the regular season of Sunday Night Football. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Laurel, New Jersey, the studios of NFL Films and the producers of Inside the NFL, the executive producer and an iterative exclusive, Ross Tedover. Ross, welcome in.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
How'd you like the game last night?
I loved it. As I was saying earlier to you, the NFL, I know, seems scripted these days, but every game seems to have a different ending. It was a terrific finish. So we have a special relationship with the Lions, having new Hard Knocks with them last year, so I was very happy to see them win.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly was right down the wire. A lot of surprise things from that fake punt on fourth down that got the Lions the first down, that kept them on their way to their first touchdown. The interception, the way it went for touchdown later in the game. Patrick Mahomes doing his things. Mahomes doing his thing. And all sorts of craziness throughout the game.
You're right. It was a great way to start the season. I'm sure NBC was thrilled, and we certainly were at the NFL. So hopefully we have 271 more of those.
What's it been like to put together really a game-changing season for Inside the NFL? We've come to know it for many years on HBO, then Showtime, then Paramount Plus. Now it's on broadcast television. Now it's on the CW. Now you have to deal with commercials. And I know a lot of people are wondering, how is this series long-running, Emmy Award-winning, how is it going to change in year 48?
So we're excited to reinvent it a little bit. I do think the core of what has kept the show on the air for 47 years will remain, which is hopefully interesting and insightful talent breaking down the sport, combined with the NFL film's access that only we get to capture, the player wires, the locker room speeches, the slow motion, all that. So those two main core elements will remain the same. That being said, we hired it's the first time in that NFL films we've taken in the studio portion as well. So we hired all new talent. We have a new set, and we're looking to integrate all of those things together. So like I said, that the core of what's kept the show on, don't want to mess with it too much. It's been on the air longer than any sports show on television. That being said, we have a new partner. We're on a broadcast network for the first time, and we want it to feel certainly fresh. And that's been the objective here the last couple of months as we're sprinting to get this on the air.
And you also have a new person hosting the program, Ryan Clark, who won the Sports Emmy Award earlier this year as the outstanding studio analyst talent. Of course, we've known him on various ESPN shows. Now he's on Inside the NFL. What's it been like for him to sort of move from being sort of an analyst chess piece on various ESPN programming to sort of being now you're the head person, you're the moderator, you're the head of the table, and you have all these new talents to work with?
Well, I think we feel really lucky that we were able to get Ryan. We appreciate that ESPN allowed that to happen. He really wanted to stretch his wings. I think he believe it or not, beat Barkley and Shaq for the Emmy for Best Studio Analyst. But for him, the opportunity to play a bigger role, to be the host, to add his insights, but also to throw passes and cue up all the new talent, all of which who are new to the show, was a challenge he was excited to take, and he hasn't taken lightly. He calls every few hours with new ideas. I've never worked with a on-air talent who's more invested in a show than Ryan has been as we're starting to set this up.
Did he tell you beforehand when you were putting the opening episode together, or whether it was taped or live on Tuesday night, that he was going to come in the studio and immediately kick the chair?
He did not. So he talked about wanting to kick it off, and we had a steady cam and we walked with him from outside the studio in the studio, but he doesn't work with a prompter. He either does it off the cuff or memorizes it. It's really impressive. So I think when he made that sort of introductory speech and he nailed it on the first take, because we're not live, we're live to tape, but he did it all in the first take. That's when he just wanted to show how excited he was, and I thought it was a fun way to kick off. Again, these are all guys who played. This is we don't have reporters, we don't have observers. It is all first-hand account football players who are going to be talking to us on this show, and I think Ryan was setting the mood on that.
We are talking with the executive producer of Inside the NFL, the award-winning Pro Football Review and Preview series. Many years was on HBO, then on Showtime, last 2 years on Paramount Plus, and now it is on the CW, on your local CW station, including WPX-TV here in New York, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. We're speaking with executive producer Russ Kedover. He joins us live from the studios of NFL Films in Laurel, New Jersey. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring the phone, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Three episodes of Tomorrow Tell Us will be coming your way next week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at this hour. And coming your way a week from today, we're going to meet the chief executive officer of one of the newer services running on smart TV sets and smart devices called Caffeine. It's unlike most video services you will see on television anywhere. You'll meet the chief executive officer, Ben Hagren. That's coming your way on Friday. And then the following Monday, we'll introduce you to a service that's quietly taking a lot of viewers by storm. It's called Nebula. You'll meet the chief executive officer, Dave Wiskos, and the recently hired chief creative officer, Sam Denby. That's all about Nebula. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, or I should say a week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In addition to Ryan coming in as host, you have a whole new crew that he deals with. And it's very interesting because I think some folks, people know by heart, like Chad Ocosinko Johnson, who I thought was very impressive on the opening episode this past Tuesday. You have Jay Cutler, the popular quarterback. How did you get all these people together? What were you looking for in terms of a team of insiders to work and play with Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, we were looking for variety for sure. So, you know, Chad Johnson, we've done a lot with him over the years. We wired him in tons of games. We knew he was going to bring fun and energy. Chris Long, who is Howie, you know, Hall of Fame, both broadcaster and player's son, he had an incredible career of his own. Really insightful, really smart, crunches numbers, does a lot of homework. Knew he would be a great fit. Jay Cutler, we were intrigued by, hasn't done a ton television, but always sort of sees things from a different angle. Quarterback, very, you know, could be sarcastic, could be salty when he needs to be. And I think him and Ryan seem to hit it off pretty quickly. And then Channing Crowder, who works with Ryan on his podcast, his award-winning podcast, The Pivot, is really a glue guy. Loosens everybody up. He had a good football career on his own, probably less known than some of the other guys. But every room he's ever walked into, people feel comfortable with him immediately. And I think that's important as we were throwing these people in sort of a stew and hoping they have some chemistry. And we brought them in for a couple of different auditions, and it worked really well. And that's how we ended up where we did.
So when we finally get started with with play on Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday night, what is the Tuesday like for you and your team to put your show on the air?
So, you know, we're going to have a little bit of planning on Mondays, but we don't want to overproduce the show. I think we brought in a showrunner, Jeremy Levin, he has been doing Inside the NBA for years, which is sort of the feel, you know, that a lot of people like with Ernie and Jack and Kenny and Barkley. And I think Ryan is going to be prepared. He's going to be our point guard. But the other guys are going to come in, and we want them reacting to the NFL Films footage the way they feel when they see it the first time. So that is the most important change that we're going to do on the show, is we want them to see these sound, the wires. When Pat Mahomes is wired, we want to get their natural reactions to seeing it for the first time. So they'll come in Tuesday. We'll sort of map out the show a little bit, but we'll tape middle of the day, late in the afternoon Tuesday, and tape it live to tape. We'll integrate the highlights. We have about 15 producers here at NFL Films cutting the game highlights Sunday night into Tuesday morning, and that is what we're going to blend with the talent, and that's what we're hoping really makes the show a little bit more unique than all the other football studio shows that are on television right now.
How close to airtime do you tape? Is it like an hour or two before?
You know, we're also editing the highlights too. I think the plan right now, it's going to be, look, Ryan's doing Monday Night Football on ESPN. He's doing the pre, the half, and the post too. So some days he'll get here later than others, depending on where the game's going to be. But I think our plan is to tape early afternoon to feed to the CW around 6 o'clock to air at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pseudo live.
No,
we're getting it to them a couple hours before they have to air it.
Now, one of the things that has made this series so special and so well liked by the core football fan is the ability to use the NFL Films work while they're filming games in a different kind of way, rather than the same, you know, you really mix in a lot of the what's going on the sidelines, what's going on in the locker room before halftime, after games, and all of that sort of stuff. How do you figure, like, what games you're going to do or encourage NFL Films to, we want that action in the program? How do you figure that out?
Right. So the way it works is obviously every NFL game is televised by CBS, Fox, NBC, Amazon, ESPN, NFL Network. They have their own cameras that are shooting for live television. Also at these games, NFL Films, you know, the company I oversee, sends our own cameras to these games. We are shooting slow motion, more of a cinematic look. It used to be on film. It's now digital, but that still looks like film. And that's where we're shooting the sound, sideline sounds. We have players wearing microphones, probably somewhere from 6 to 8 different players a week. And we're getting into places that the networks, the live telecast isn't going. That footage comes back to NFL Films, and we edit it into highlight packages, a different perspective. So we're not telling people who won the game. We've all seen that live on Sunday and Monday night. We're showing how it happened, we like to think, and the perspective people haven't seen before. And those are the highlights that we are editing all day Monday. I think we probably won't show every game in the show. Like I said, we're not letting people know who won. We're doing it based on where we got unique access. So if we shot a game without a lot of sound, without wires, maybe it wasn't an exciting game, that won't be in the show this week. We want Ryan and the crew to focus on the things that the fans haven't seen yet. And Inside the NFL is going to be the first place all those player wires, all that sound is going to be seen and heard.
I noticed, Ross, that on the opening episode this past Tuesday, you had a number of clips that used either the radio call of a game, whether by the local radio cast of the team or Westwood One or ESPN Radio that runs the games on national radio, or in some cases the television coverage,
mm-hmm.
on whether it's on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, et cetera, et cetera. How do you determine whether you will use those radio calls or TV calls?
Yeah, so for us, I think in most cases here, for the NFL Films highlights, we use the local radio announcer. I think, first of all, most people nationwide haven't heard it, as opposed to, you know, Buck and Aikman or things like that, who were seen by tens of millions of people. But there's so much more passion because those guys have a rooting interest. So for us, it gives the highlights a little bit more texture. It's able... So we use it. We have a narrator, but there are times we want the excitement on the big plays to use the broadcast calls, and a lot of times we use the local radio announcers.
I noticed, by the way, that they were not given credit in a graphic. Is that going to change? Where if you see when you see the clip and you hear the local radio announcer, or let's say Kevin Harlan, I think he used one of his Westwood One calls, that he will get credit. You put a graphic on saying, you know, Kevin Harlan call on, you know, Westwood One, or courtesy, you know, local radio station or regional network that runs the games.
Yeah, no, we haven't done that in the past. I think we're hoping to immerse the fans in the cinematic sort of take of the game, and don't want them reading too much. So while we have relationships with all those stations, we generally don't roll those credits up as it's going, because for us it's more about the ambiance and the feel of telling the story, not necessarily that the audience needs to know whose voice they're hearing on those.
As the episodes go on from week to week, are there certain elements of the game that you want each commentator, whether it's Chad Ocwasinko Johnson, whether it is Jay Cutler, et cetera, to focus on, let's say, more than other aspects of the game?
I think you're probably right about that, but we haven't figured it out yet. I mean, I think our hope is that Jay might speak a little bit more perspective on the quarterback's perspective versus, you know, Ocho as a playmaker and Chris Long as a defender, but I don't think we don't want to put them in a box on that either. I think we're going to see what each guy is best at, what they're most passionate about. Luckily, all these guys love football and they watch the games. They don't just come in Tuesday and say, tell me what they're to say. They love it and they watch it. Even Jay just told me he's got 8 TVs set up and he's watching all the games at once. So we want them to talk about what they care about, what they know about, and what they're passionate about. And I think we're really not going to know what that is week to week, and that's what sort of makes it exciting.
We're speaking with Ross Kettover, the executive producer of Inside the NFL, the prize-winning series that's been running now for 47 years, now going to year 48 in a new location, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station. And if you have a question or comment or many minutes with Ross, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple041. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to speak with the creator of a proposed new anime-type animation series called Gabriel and the Guardian. They're going to try to crowdfund the series. It's from the same people that do The Chosen, which, by the way, runs Sunday night on the CW. Jason Moody is the creator, and we have a very special guest that is going to join us that we just learned about before we went on the air, and you'll meet that person who's also involved in the series at the bottom of the hour. Plus, classic trivia question of the week. We have four prizes in play, so stay tuned near the top of the hour because you might be able to be our latest wonderful winner. And guess what? We have a call, Ross, and we're going to get to it. Hello, you're on Tamarvi Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, well, great to have you. I had a hunch you were going to call because, of course, your Eagles get into action, I believe, before the weekend is out.
Yeah, and well, in the past I've done films and stuff, and NFL Films used to actually develop some of the film that I shot. Like, not a lot of people knew that they would develop your film and things like that. So I have some minor involvement over there. But my question for Ross is, like, during the off season, what do you guys do, especially with all that equipment? Are there other shows that you produce? And, like, what other things do you do? Is it documentaries or reality series? Or, you know, just always interested in that part of it.
Yep. Oh, no. Thanks for calling and asking. Yes, it's the NFL is a year-round business these days. So we have been pretty big. We have been – this offseason is as busy as we've ever had. I don't know. We did a show on Netflix called Quarterback, which was an eight-part series where we followed Pat Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Mariota all last season. So that took a lot of time in the spring as we were putting that together. We also do a ton of programming for NFL Network in the offseason, like the Top 100 Players list, which aired later in the summer. We just spent all of training camp with the Jets doing Hard Knocks for HBO. So, and we do a lot of our – for our documentaries, a lot of our shooting and interviewing in the offseason because the players and coaches have a lot more time in the offseason. So people spend a lot of time on the road. We do a series called A Football Life for NFL Network, which is a series of hour-long documentaries on Hall legends and Hall of Fame players. And most of those guys have more time in the off season, so we do a lot of those interviews that time of year. So we're staying pretty busy in the off season still, which is good because people are still thirsty for NFL content, which I know we're lucky is the case in this country.
Cool, very cool. Well, thanks for answering the question, and have a great weekend. And thanks, Simon. Have a great weekend.
You too, and good luck to your Eagles on opening day of what should be a very exciting season.
Thanks, Simon. We don't need luck. Go first.
Yes, back to the Super Bowl, absolutely. Rick,
that's a true Eagles fan.
Joining us here on Tamarvi Televised. Ross, what did you do before joining in with Inside the NFL and NFL Films? How did you make the move from whatever you did before to here?
A lot of people here, I've been here my whole career. I came right from college. I started at 21. I've been here. I'm going on my 29th season, and luckily, if you love football and you like making movies, it's a good place to work. So I came right from college.
You know, growing up, I grew up on a lot of NFL Films programming. If you wanted to know back in the 60s and 70s what was happening in the league, you watched the NFL Game of the Week, which was syndicated on Sunday or Saturday afternoons, or you watched This Week in Pro Football that was hosted for many years by Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire, also syndicated. Then it was NFL Film Presents for many years on ESPN. Plus the specials like the Football Follies every year. NFL Films seems to have this wonderful glow of when you watch what they do, you get a great side of the game, a cinematic side of the game that before they were around never happened before.
100%. That was our founder Steve Sable's vision. He and his father Ed, who started the company, they knew that, or they thought that football matched Hollywood cinema better than any other sport, and they captured the sport that way, and had been doing it. You know, you watched Game of the Week, you were saying, in the 60s and 70s. I ran that series when it came back, when NFL Network started, and we were still doing it the same way. Steve would say, I want a cold open like a Bond movie, a cinematic start. Then you can roll the credits, then we'll get into the game. So that was always his vision. How do we make this feel bigger than life? How do we treat our players like movie stars? And I think that's always sort of been a North Star for us as we make our content here.
Plus, you had all those great narrators like the Voice of God, also from Philadelphia, John Facenda, you know, famous like the home of Green Bay and the frozen tundra, and so forth. And more recently, Scott Graham, who was also the pregame, postgame, halftime host on Westwood One, does a great job there. All these wonderful, narrators, the original music, which has been a hallmark of NFL films too from the get-go. Again, it just seems to be a whole different take that once you're inside, it's like you're creating, just not just great television, but just great sports making.
No, thank you. Yeah, we actually, with one of those narrators, we sort of crossed the fourth wall this year with Hard Knocks, with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers talked about wanting to meet Liev Schreiber, who he called the voice of God, who is the actor who narrates all the sports content on HBO. And we flew Liev in a helicopter to visit Jets camp. Aaron got to meet him. It appeared in the show. Liev was narrating to himself. It was a whole, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, but it certainly got some attention. But yes, finding those narrators who with great voices and who can tell a story is certainly something we're always on the lookout for.
Did quarterback turn out to be a very big surprise for you and everybody in NFL films? It seems that this has become one of the underplayed major shows this year. And it seems that because of quarterback, Netflix has become more and more of a home for sports documentaries.
Yeah, we had been looking to do something. It was the one place NFL Films didn't have a show for was on Netflix, and we wanted to make a splash with that. I admit we got a little lucky being that Pat Mahomes was one of our subjects, and the guy was the MVP of the Super Bowl and the season. But that being said, they were a great partner. We worked with Peyton Manning's company, Omaha, and he helped us secure some of the quarterbacks, and it was the number one show on Netflix for, I think, 8 days in a row, which for an unscripted sports documentary to do that, not just, it wasn't just the number one show in unscripted, it was all on Netflix. We were thrilled. And it aired early in July, I think, when people were really hungry and yearning for football to be back. So all those things, it was something we were really proud of and glad to be partners with Netflix now. And yes, they have dove in with both feet to the unscripted sports world. They have a golf show. They have a Formula One show. They have a tennis show. And we're really glad that the football show worked out well.
And they're also working on a series on the Women's World Cup team and the recent World Cup tournament in Australia and New Zealand. Is there more to go? Is there one team or two teams that we're not talking about going into this first Sunday of the NFL season that Ryan and everybody on the air are very excited about, that they think, watch out for this team. Watch out for something like another Detroit situation to pop up.
Yeah, I don't like to get in the prediction business because I'm not any good at it. But that being said, and I know Ryan's a little biased as a former Steeler, but I think I've heard the guys talking about they think the Steelers are going to surprise some people. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record. Even in what people thought were down years, their defense is supposedly incredible, and I think at least Ryan and some of the guys on set think the Steelers are going to surprise some people this season.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out that on the college level, tomorrow on the CW, starting at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, Atlantic Coast Conference football comes to that channel, that network, and it will be Pitt versus Cincinnati. That should be a very interesting game. That's Pitt versus Cincinnati, the opener of the ACC football game of the week. It's on your local CW station, between WTX here in New York. Starts at 3:30 Pacific time. That is 6:30 Eastern time. So make sure you check that. And, of course, episode 2, covering the first full weekend of the National Football League inside the NFL, this coming Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the CW. Check the locations where the CW is available in the area. And for more details about the program, go to www.cwtv.com or nflfilms.com. That's www.cwtv.com or nflfilms.com. Season 48 of Inside the NFL, now underway. Next episode, this coming Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the CW. Ross Kedover, the executive producer of the series, and along with all the gang in NFL Films, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on the move to the CW. So far, it's looking great, and hopefully a wonderful season 48 ahead. It's been a great pleasure to have you here.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, Ross. Take care. Enjoy the season starting with this weekend.
For sure. Take care.
Ross Kedover, executive producer of Inside the NFL, joining us live from the studios of NFL Films. in Laurel, New Jersey. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Cure. You ever wonder what makes you fatigued or tired at times? Well, try dehydration. It's the leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and yes, muscle weakness. Now, luckily, there's a way to bounce back, and that way is Cure, C-U-R-E. It's a clean, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate at your best. Cure's instant drink packets, mixed with water, contains a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial sweeteners or preservatives. Cure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go, at work, or at home. Try Cure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISED for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISED, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D. For more details, go to curehydration.com. When we come back, we will have Jason Moody, the creator of Gabriel and the Guardians, the new anime style animated series from Angel Studios, the folks behind The Chosen, plus another special guest as well, and our classic trivia question of the week, all coming your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want to check in on the latest with both pro and college football, check out the Richard Miller Report. That's tomorrow on BTR, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The Richard Miller Report, that's 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, excuse me, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised. This half hour is brought to you by Laird Superfoods, plant-based coffee creamers, and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Time now, I'm with you along for the ride. Another great guest coming your way in the 30 minutes ahead. We want you to give them a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Welcome to those who are just joining us at the bottom of the hour. We want to welcome those who are joining us on our brand new podcast affiliates, Anytime Player and Pod Night. Well, the folks behind The Chosen, Angel Studios, and The Chosen, by the way, you can catch right now, Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on the CW, doing very well there in that time period. They are now working on a brand new animation series in the style of anime called Gabriel and the Guardians. And joining us live to talk about it, on the road between Nashville, Tennessee, and Columbus, Ohio, the creator, Jason Moody. Jason, happy to have you here.
Hey, thanks, man. Glad to be here.
And Jason, we have a very special guest that is joining us as well from Shakespeare, Maryland. Joining us live there is one of the executive producers of the program, Al Moore. Al, happy to have you aboard too.
Glad to be here.
Jason, start with you. How long have you been thinking about doing an animated series about Gabriel and his guardians?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, when I was a kid, I dreamed of working in cartoons and working in animation, and I wanted to be an animator. But, you know, being from the Midwest, I ended up working at JP Morgan Chase as an e-learning developer instead. But then during COVID, you know, I picked that dream back up. I started drawing and kind of really became fascinated with the narratives of the Old Testament and particularly Genesis, and started imagining this sort of kind of fresh fantasy story that sort of takes its inspiration from the story of Genesis. And it caught on. I mean, people started really digging it, and doors opened, and we ended up getting an opportunity with Angel Studios.
And now pick up the story from there. You know, we know Angel because of their success with The Chosen. It's doing very well wherever it's played now on the CW, as I mentioned, on Sunday nights. How did you get involved with this, and how did Angel get involved?
So my involvement came from our other partner, David Cunningham, who he's traveling on the road as well, and he's in an area where he can't call in. The mountain, the reception's terrible. But, yeah, he's our writer, and he and I worked together for 8 years at another production company, and he sent it over, the script over to me to take a read and to just tell him what I thought of it. And as I was reading through it, I got about a third of the way through it, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. This is something I would love to work on. And so I called him back, and you know, as we were talking, I asked him, hey, how can I get involved? And he said, actually, that's the reason why I sent it to you. I wanted to see if you wanted to be involved. I've been doing animation animation and creative design for about 33 years. I started my career at Disney Animation in Florida, and I worked on a lot of films like Lion King and Lilo and Stitch, Pocahontas, Tarzan, those things. that this was something that really resonated with me because I've been wanting for a long time to do something that kind of hits that teenage market. And, yeah, I was very excited. And The Chosen, you know, has been successful. Angel has been fantastic partners with us. They've you know, they've pretty much let us run with the production, and it's just been fantastic.
If you have a question or comment for Jason and or Al, make that call happen, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find that at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Jason, in this series, Gabriel is a celestial being. We don't know where he comes from, and he's somebody who's pretty kind of a grounded person who doesn't back down from a situation and comes. He's like King Arthur with the Knights of the Round Table beside him.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of this, you know, he's this character who is, you know, the idea is that we have this fantasy world called Ara that at one point was destined to be a paradise, but through the entering in of chaos through some poor choices of the mortals, paradise is lost. You know, kind of playing off of that, you know, that tale, the Paradise Lost tale. And Gabriel, you know, he's basically over this paradise that's been removed from the world, and he's in the unseen realm. You know, it's the idea that there's this, you know, there's an unseen realm. There are beings that exist beyond what we can see. And, you know, Gabriel's inspired by the, you know, this great biblical figure that is this archangel, Gabriel. And so, you know, some things in the fantasy story begin to take place that are kind of inspired by the events of Genesis 6. It says, in the days of Noah, there were giants that walked the earth, and they were the sons of fallen angels. And so Gabriel gets a whiff of that something's not right going on the world, and so he has to go down there, and he discovers that there's, you know, there's this plot, and there are these giants, and they want to undo creation. And so, yeah, he goes down there, and he meets some mortals, and he ends up kind of having a tenuous bond with a cleric, this kind of braggadocious, fun, sort of Han Solo character cleric, and then a sort of a feisty princess that, you know, has these awesome, like, alchemy knives that, you know, explode. And together they end up having to try to save the world.
Al, it sounds like the Guardians are coming across the way Jason's seeing it as it's like Robin's Merryman. Robin Hood's
name. Yeah. they want to bring about good, you know, and they want to stop these cosmic forces of darkness that are at play, and you know, they want to be a beacon of hope and a shining light and stop the world from being unmade.
Mm-hmm.
And during that journey,
the Guardians have a specific power or a specific skill that they bring to this quest.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Gabriel's, you know, the whole idea here is that you know, we mortals are looking for our purpose, right? Like in the story, the mortals are looking for their purpose as many of us are in real life. And Gabriel represents this being that comes and brings this message as many times, and you know, you find in the Old Testament these angelic beings would show up as heralds with this message. And so, you know, Gabriel, you know, in the book of Daniel, it actually talks about Gabriel being extremely strong, golden skin, and he brings this message of hope to Daniel in the story, but he's battling these dark forces, you know, and he was held up. And so, you know, we're going to see this epic struggle that is visualized in this sort of, you know, extremely anime and extremely visual and beautiful, colorful way.
And now picking up on that point, we were talking about a metaphor for the series, and you were saying that this is like a mix of the Chronicles of Narnia books by C.S. Lewis, and which I grew up on, and Dragon Ball Z. How do you come up with that blend?
Well, it's going to be high fantasy where, you know, along the lines of Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings or something like that, but taking place in a Hebrew and in a Mesopotamian type culture and landscape. It's not going to be your traditional you know, medieval environments, or it's not going to be what's normally been done. We're going to be setting this in a whole other landscape. And then the Dragon Ball Z side of it comes from all – there's going to be fantastic fight scenes between our three heroes and the foes and the enemies and the dark forces that they face throughout the world of Aura. And in that world, you're going to have different tribes throughout that world. So there's going to be all kinds of different landscapes and different environments that they encounter, and different trials that they encounter, which will try not only their friendships, but try themselves and get them to have a better understanding of who they are and how to overcome in the midst of adversity.
We're talking about Gabriel and the Guardians. It's a new anime-style television series that's being put together with equity crowdfunds by Angel Studios, the folks behind The Chosen, which you can catch Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on your local CW station. We're talking with the creator of the series, Jason Moody. He is on the road between Nashville, Tennessee, and Columbus, Ohio, where he lives. Also with his executive producer, Al Moore, live from Chesapeake, Maryland, and Simon Applebaum with you between them here in New Haven, York. 87 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Happy to have you aboard on this Friday afternoon. Happy you're touching base with the program about TV's current and future. 90-minute edition for you on this Friday. And we want to hear from you, so reach out and touch everyone with your phone call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to have three episodes for you coming your way next week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific start time. And a week from today, we'll have among our guests the chief executive officer of a new service on smart TV sets and devices that's quietly making its mark. It's called Caffeine, a very unusual service, as you will hear from Ben Caton. He is the chief executive officer. You'll hear him. That's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on the Why We Tell Lies. Then the following Monday, September 18th, among our guests, we'll have the folks behind another service that is making its mark through smart sets and devices called Nebula. And it's a service featuring scripted and unscripted television. We'll have chief executive officer Dave Wiskos, and just named as Chief Creative Officer, Sam Denby. That's coming your way a week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In terms of how many episodes and where we stand, Al, give us the big picture. Where do we stand in terms of how many episodes for an opening season, and where do we stand in terms of getting this somewhere where people can view it?
So we're at 13 episodes for season one, 22 minutes apiece, which is your standard 30-minute format, 8 minutes worth of commercials. And you'll be able to stream it on – currently, you'll be able to stream it on Angel's platform, which is free. However, and I say currently, you'll be able to stream it – we're in production – well, we're in pre-production through the end of this year and going into actual production in – 2024 with a drop of the show, the 13 episodes, in first quarter 2025. It's being hand-drawn, so it's going to take us a bit of time to do. We're not doing CG. We're doing traditional hand-drawn animation. We've contracted with studios. Well, I shouldn't say we've contracted. We're in the middle of testing out several studios in Asia right now that work on some of the biggest animes that are out there. And so we'll definitely have an authentic feel. We still call it anime-inspired, but it'll have an authentic feel. And, but we're also in the midst of talks with several different distribution. We have meetings coming up with distribution companies throughout the world, and we have one in particular that we've been talking to recently. We have another meeting with them next week. So it could potentially be on other platforms aside from Angel's streaming platform.
And I understand that this is going to be equity crowdfunded. How are we doing, staying with you, Al, about that campaign, which I understand is the first for an anime U.S.-developed series?
Yeah, so we are doing we're doing a crowdfund. Right now we're in a thing called Testing the Waters, where we're getting kind of preliminary. People can go, and they can go to angel.com/Gabriel, and they can put in their interest in seeing the show made on that website, and that allows us to see what kind of interest there is in making this show going forward. I mean, we have some initial funding that we've done to make these trailers and these teasers that you've seen. wanting to make the entire show, the first season, the 13 episodes. It's a great platform. It's worked for Angel before, and so we partner with them because we're trying to make family friendly content that it's gauged and designed to be for 10 and up, but there's not going to be anything in there that's going to be terrible for your family to watch.
Mm-hmm. Jason, with 13 episodes to work with, do you have a sense yet in terms of how you want them structured, where we're going to have, let's say, an overriding story arc throughout the 13 that we get a little bit here, a little bit there each episode? And what about the possibility of having, like, individual adventures that will, beginning, middle, and end each episode?
Yeah. Well, and real quick, I just want to clarify. It's actually angel.com/guardians.
Angel.com/guardians. Sorry, I said Gabriel.
Yeah, that's okay. And we right now we're sitting at 1.5 million in expressed interest, which is really cool. It's showing that people are very interested in this show getting made. But in terms of the story, yeah, we've plotted out 13 episodes. And we're really taking the themes and the narratives that are found sort of in that these ancient texts, right? We're taking the themes of Genesis, but also the narrative of that flood story, this thing, this primordial thing, right? That nearly every culture on the planet has some ancient flood story. And so tapping into that narrative and then creating a really fun action-packed story that gives these three characters each an arc, and there's going to be stories of redemption because ultimately Genesis has some great themes of redemption, and so we're going to have some really great themes of redemption in that story, and we're working hard to make sure that these characters come alive and that they have really that they're really fleshed out characters. We've got really great villains, our chaos giants, they're inspired by the Nephilim, which are these beings that show up in many different texts, Sumerian texts, Hebrew texts, Akkadian texts, that are these giants and these heroes, quote unquote, of the old. And so, playing on some of those myths and playing on some of those texts and trying to tell a story that is set in this, again, fantasy world, but a fantasy world that is very much grounded and inspired by real Mesopotamian culture and text.
Hmm. Al, I understand that you've already assembled, for a beginning animation team, people who've not only done, as you said, Disney work, but also you have somebody, at least one person who's worked on Dragon Ball Z. You have some people who have worked on the Star Wars animated shows, Clone Wars. Loved that when it was on, way back when. And then Winged Feather Saga. So there's a very – who in terms of animation people and storyboard people, what were you looking for in terms of putting this team together?
Well, we just wanted people who were strong artists. Our head of storyboards is fantastic. He's really strong in action-oriented scenes and – that's really what drew us to him. He's a fantastic artist, fantastic person, and he's leading up our storyboard side. As far as the production team goes, yeah, we have people that have worked on several productions. Like you're talking about Winged Feather Saga, we have three people. One of actually David Cunningham, one of our co-founders and our writer, he worked on Winged Feather Saga for a while, and we have producers and supervising coordinators that worked on Winged Feather Saga as well. And then we have our actors who were in the Clone Wars. We have James Arnold Taylor, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's going to be one of our voices for our bad guy, Malacros. And then we have Matt Lanter, who played Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars. He's going to be our hero, one of our heroes, Nock. And then as far as Dragon Ball goes, we have Johnny Youngbosch, who will be voicing our hero, Gabriel.
And he, I understand, was in Power Rangers also.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, the original Power Rangers. He was he played Adam Park, the Black Power Ranger.
Mm. In the initial Mighty Morphin.
He was the second season. Yeah, he was in the second season, and he was in the 1995 movie. He played the Black Power Ranger in the 95 movie. So for anybody that is filled with nostalgia, you can go and watch that old 95 Power Rangers movie. Pretty good.
Yeah. And what does he bring to the role of Gabriel? What did you like about casting him in that key role?
Oh, man. Johnny's amazing. And I knew him actually from years ago when I was doing illustration for this manga/comic book series that was designed to raise awareness for human trafficking. And Johnny came on and did some voice work for us because we were doing some digital stuff. And I just kind of maintained that relationship. And so when all of this started to pop up and doors were starting to open and we had interest from Angel Studios, I reached back out to him and I said, hey, man, obviously we already had a relationship and he'd done some great work for us in the past. And so I was like, would you want to come on, take a look at the script? He read it. He was like, dude, this is really cool. And I was like, would you do the voice of Gabriel for our pilot, you know? And so he did. He just did it just out of the goodness of his heart. And then now that we've got a distribution deal with Angel, we've brought him on, officially as the lead voice for Gabriel.
Al, have any of the mega content services, whether Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Prime Video, et cetera, have they expressed any interest in taking the series when it's finally ready to go?
So, funny that you should ask that question. They and Jason can actually extrapolate on this. They expressed interest early on, but they wanted to take over the show, so we would have had to give it to them. And so we decided that wasn't the direction we wanted to go.
Yeah, there's a story there where early on, before Al and David even really came onto this project, I was working with a company out of L.A. called Franklin Entertainment. They were helping me develop the project. They thought that the idea was really good, and I had no connections. I just kind of randomly emailed Devon Franklin, found his email online, and I was like, I'm just giving this a shot because I have no other connections here. And lo and behold, they actually responded, and they were like, hey, we looked at your pitch, and it's actually really good. We'd love to help you develop. And so as I worked with them for about 6 months, this was back in 21, they basically said that they had someone from Netflix that was interested in talking and kind of running it up the ladder at Netflix. But they were like, the way this is going to work is buy this probably right out. And, maybe you'll get a credit, maybe not, but, they'll buy this off of you. We just wanted to go a different way. We wanted to go a more indie way. I felt like this story had been given to me to steward and steward it well. And so I said, thank you, but no thank you. I think we're going to try to do this indie. And that's when we reached out to Angel.
Well, when you speak indie also, remember there are quite a lot of independently owned television networks that are now running through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, whether it's Dove Channel on Cineverse, formerly Cinedime. You have other networks on multi-channel bundles, whether it's Pluto TV or Zumo or Tubi, et cetera, et cetera. And then you also have the CW, which is now running The Chosen, so far doing very well.
Yeah.
So could that be a possibility for down the road?
Yeah, we are very open, and we've talked with Angel, and they're very open to us. Obviously they have shows that are on Netflix and on CW, and so we're very open to multiple distribution lines. So anybody out there that is interested, reach out to us. We'd love to talk about. I mean, anime is recently became the most profitable genre in the world. You can look that up. You can't go wrong with an anime-inspired series.
So, Jason, to sort of wrap up, when will you and your team start to actually make the episodes, start putting them together, writing the scripts, the storyboards, and getting the actors into before the microphones to start recording and then finally putting it all together?
Yeah, so the quick version of that timeline is that we actually had a writer's room where we pulled six writers from across the country, pro writers, brought them to my hometown, and the local college gave us space to write for a week, and we wrote the first 7 episodes, and we're about to do our second writer's room here in a couple of weeks. And then we're recording with the voice actors here probably in October, end of September. I just saw that we've got the first episode totally storyboarded out and edited. So we're making revisions on that. We're looking to go in actual production with the overseas studio, the anime studio, at beginning of 2024. So first quarter, probably January or February, we'll begin active production. And then we're aiming to have the full season, 13 episodes, launch at the beginning of 25.
If you want to know more about Gabriel and the Guardians and you want to even support it with equity crowdfunding, here's where you go online. Angel, that's ANGEL.com, /what? What is the after the forward
Guardians.
Slash?
Guardians.
That's right. That's Guardians. So it's angel.com/Guardians. You can check out the program, some of the possible storyboards, and if you want to make a financial contribution to make sure the show goes on the air by 2025, that's where you go, angel.com/Guardians. And don't forget, Angel Studios, the folks behind this project, also involved with The Chosen. That's on this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station. Check your local listings for where it is playing on the local CW station near you here in New York, WPIX TV Channel 11, celebrating 75 years on the air, I might add. And, of course, for their programming, you go online to cwtv.com, www.cwtv.com. Jason Moody joining us live on the road between Nashville, Tennessee and Columbus, Ohio. Al Moore, executive producer from Chesapeake, Maryland. Thank you both very much for coming on. We definitely want to have you both back when the show is ready to go on the air somewhere. And thank you both for making the time to tell everybody what you're up to with Gabriel and the Guardians.
No, thank you, man. We're humbled and honored that you guys had us on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're very, very welcome, Jason. Al, take care. Have a superb weekend.
You too.
You too. We'll see you.
Jason Moody, creator, Al Moore, executive producer of Gabriel and the Guardians, joining us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Our classic trivia question comes your way. First, some words from the great people at Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused? Just go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Now, if you are looking for a better coffee experience, for example, all you have to do is try out Laird Superfood Creamers. That's Laird Superfood Creamers. They are produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced, and whole food, best of all. There's no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. Ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers. They're available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. Remember, you save 15% off your purchase when you use the promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED, at checkout. Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers, and other great products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week, second time that we are offering it. We got 4 prizes in play. If you are first with the correct answer, we have 2 wonderful musical CDs, the Chicago Greatest Hits CD, with songs like I've Been Searching So Long, If You Leave Me Now, starting to spark more great hits, the Lifetime Women in Rock CD, with such players as Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Bangles, Cyndi Lauper, and Mutra Mas. We have an Uber card that is coming your way from AMC Networks, and we have the brand new book from Emmy Award winner Jeff Mulvine, who was out in this program a week ago. It's called Running the Show, Television from the Inside, and you can get a great free copy of it if you know the answer with the other prizes to this question. Name the 1974 CBS crime drama starring Ken Howard. Name the 1974 CBS crime drama starring Ken Howard. It's a Quinn Martin production. That's one clue. Another clue, it takes place in the 1930s. Quinn Martin production, and it takes place in the 1930s. Again, the question, name the 1974 CBS crime drama series starring Ken Howard. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, of course you win all those great prizes. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT for X or Twitter. If you are a previous winner or a guest in this program, you are not eligible. So, and if you came in late on the question, we will bring it to you one more time before we leave you at the bottom of the next hour. So So remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so in all the very best. When we come back in our final half hour, our takeaway of the week, the Spanish language scripted standstill of these United States. Why is it happening? And what can we do about it? Well, I'll tell you, after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Side Chicks. Great entertainment for you tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. That's Side Chicks tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from Nueva York, 83 degrees at the top of the hour. And we welcome all of you joining us at the top of the hour. This final half hour of our program is brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being. Great to have you aboard this Friday afternoon. We started the show with some thunder and maybe some lightning here in the New York metro area. Apparently that is toned down for now. 83 degrees at the top of the hour, just in with the temperature. Happy to have you aboard for the promo about TV's current and future. If you missed the classic trivia question right before the top of the hour, we will bring it to you before we leave you this Friday afternoon. But first, we have our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week. And if you have a question or comment about it, give us a call from anywhere you like, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And then there is our chat room, our good super fan on the room, Duck Northwest Media, just gave us a yellow thumbs up. Thanks for joining us in. So put your comments in the room or give us a call. And if you are using the chat room, it's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also click in with others by using Facebook's timeline feature. What you got to do is follow the instructions in your Blog Talk Radio speaker or TuneIn site. And all you got to do is that, and then you can connect with others and have them interact with you and our program. All right, time now for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we highlight development that we think you should take away from the week, knowing that it could very well impact how you watch and use television down the road. Today, we're going to have a very unusual takeaway of the week because we're going to combine it with another feature that we started earlier this year called Something I'd Like to See, where I do a little rant on something I'd like to see TV or the TV industry do in conjunction with all of you. Our takeaway this week, which gets into a something I'd like to see, the Spanish language scripted standstill. I've covered a lot of topics over the 40-plus years I've been involved as a journalist in this world of television. And one of the most amazing topics and themes of all has been the rise of Spanish language television in the United States. It has really become an incredible industry that can stand on its own with any other part of television. It all started in the late 1970s with SIN, the Spanish International Network, that were the first to go national using their television stations. And then with help of satellite, it became more of a national network. Then it became Univision. Then came Telemundo. Then came other services, spinoff services from both locations, Univision, Unimas, and Galavision, one of the first cable channels in Spanish. In terms of Telemundo, you had Universo, formerly Mundos, and then you had new players like Estrella TV and Azteca America, and with the arrival of smart TV sets and devices, more new players like Canela TV, which has several channels, and Nuestra TV, which premiered last year. And along the way, television in Spanish, as far as being produced in the United States, has come a very long way. Whether it's been in Spanish language newscasts and 24-hour news services in all sorts of places, sports television, which includes services like ESPN Deportes and Fox Deportes, and are now winning Emmy Awards in the sports category for their coverage. Same thing, by the way, with news, too. News and Doc Emmy Awards now include Spanish language programming, as well as unscripted shows, whether it's Enamorados on Unimas every night or whether it's shows on Telemundo, which are now running from 7 to 9 p.m. weeknights, like Exelton, the competition series with Survivor-like themes to it, or the new Los 50s, or Top Chef, or on Univision, Mi Quien Baila, the Dancing with the Stars show. So in most respects, Spanish language television can hold its own with any television service, not just in the United States, in English or bilingual, but also around the world, with one glaring exception. And that one exception is Spanish language scripted series, comedies, dramas, anthology shows, science fiction, horror, genre programming, either on a weekly or nightly basis or daily basis, produced in the United States with U.S. Latino talent, actors, writers, directors, producers, production teams. In many respects, what is going on right now with this side of Spanish language television looks like the same when I started covering the medium in 1980. In 1980, most of SIN's scripted television was produced apart from the United States, in Mexico through Televisa, in Puerto Rico through television networks there, like WAPA, W-A-P-A, which now has its own, by the way, television network, both in Puerto Rico and its own WAPA America in the United States, distributed by Hemisphere Media, independent company, or in Latin American countries like Argentina, Venezuela, Costa Rica, Spain, Portuguese programming from TV Globo, translated into Spanish, and that's the way Spanish language scripted television was. And you could understand in 1980, to give you some context, why that was the case. There was no physical infrastructure in terms of a Latino talent pool or physical infrastructure. There was no advertising base. Very few advertisers were regular on Spanish language television. There were some like McDonald's, State Farm Insurance, Allstate, Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Ford, and that was it. Of the hundreds of advertisers back in 1980, very few of them were advertising on Spanish language television. So there was no advertiser base. And there was a controversy over the viewership base. How many viewers were Spanish language networks getting, starting with SIN and Univision, because of the controversy at the time with Nielsen over getting an accurate count of who was watching. That is far, very far from the case in 2023. Here we are in the United States Spanish language community, where now you have the physical infrastructure to produce Spanish language scripted television, studio space in New York, in New Jersey, in Boston, in Chicago, Miami, of course, where Univision and Telemundo are located. Telemundo is a very big facility to produce dramatic scripted TV in Miami and Miami Beach, and throughout Texas, in Dallas and Austin and San Antonio and Galveston and Corpus Christi and Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Netflix has a major complex, and Denver, Colorado, and Los Angeles, San Diego, every major Latino market, Atlanta, Georgia, another one, they all have studio space, extensive studio space, or building it. And there is a big and growing bigger talent pool of actors and writers and directors and producers who are chomping at the bit to do Spanish language television. Not to mention the fact that a number of the mega content services are doing Spanish language TV. Netflix, Prime Video is. You also have a Spanish language mega content service in VIX from Televisa Univision and VIX Plus. And you have the space that's been provided to places like Nestrella TV and Nuestra TV and Canela Media. The advertising base growing like gangbusters because of the upfronts and new fronts that have been happening over the last few years, particularly since the pandemic, with leaders like Don Speciale, formerly with Turner, at Univision, who are really encouraging advertisers who have never done Spanish language television before to do it and do it big. And now you have hundreds of advertisers, not just a few, hundreds of advertisers all over the place in many product categories are now advertising regularly on Spanish language television or giving it a try. Yes, there are some product categories that still aren't. We're still waiting for the Fidelities and the E-Trades and the Morgan Stanleys and the J.P. Morgans and the key banks to get involved, some of the insurance companies, apart from State Farm and Liberty Mutual, and, yes, some of the lesser restaurant chains on a national basis, fast food chains, and they're coming. They're coming around, no question about it. You now have accurate viewership and getting better because not only of Nielsen and ComScore and other agencies, but also because of smart TV sets and smart devices that have great storage for viewership data. And that brings the question. If the physical, the advertising, the talent pool, and all that is there, why aren't we seeing a lot of Spanish language scripted U.S.-produced television? Why does it still feel like it's 1980? And part of it, I think, is that we have not had a major discussion about getting it off the ground. When Netflix does Spanish language television, like, for example, the first one was El Chapo, a winner. Yes, they did some scenes in the U.S., but a lot of it was done out of the U.S. Why are they not doing U.S.-produced Spanish language? Why is Prime Video not doing it? Why is Peacock not doing it? Although it now have Telemundo Studios has a streaming unit now that is working with Peacock. And where is Paramount Plus? And where is Max? And where is Disney Plus? And Hulu? Why haven't we seen the U.S. Spanish language equivalent of such shows as Seinfeld or Only Murders in the Building or Orange is the New Black or ER or Law and Order or Game of Thrones or Star Trek or Star Wars, The Mandalorian or Ahsoka? Why are we not seeing this? And why, when some of the major studios like Warner Brothers, like Disney, like Paramount, do Spanish language television or companies associated with them, why are they doing it overseas? You know, a number of years ago, Disney was doing a Spanish language version of Desperate Housewives. Did they shoot in Los Angeles where they had their studio space already there for that series on ABC? No, they went to South America to do it. It's absolutely unbelievable that here we are in 2023, September, and we're seeing very, very, even Telemundo, which has a major facility, they're not doing a lot of Spanish language shows produced in the United States. You know, recently they presented Betty in Nueva York, which ran on a couple of years ago. It was produced, by the way, mostly in Miami, some segments in New York, especially the early episodes, and it was marvelous. They just presented again at 9 p.m. Eastern weeknight, and it's great. Wonderful cast, great writing, great direction, really covered the fashion industry in a wonderful way. Original music that, unlike previous years, didn't interfere with the action on the show, complimented it, not toned it down, or made, was really stupid, but felt like slapped on. Wonderful production. Why are we seeing more of that on a regular basis from Telemundo? Why are we seeing it from Univision? Why are we not? Why is it still, we go to Televisa in Mexico, we go to Televisa in Spain, we go to Puerto Rico, we go to Latin America. And by the way, we now have production companies, independently like Exile Content Studios, like Boondog, and others that are now in the business of doing Spanish language television. So why are we not seeing a real leap in Spanish language scripted programming? And I think part of the reason is that we don't bring the subject up. And that it's not getting the attention as a subject it ought to be getting. Now, this coming week is NYC Television Week. Great week. And it's a week that we'll have a lot of people involved coming from all over the United States in New York for it. And every year for many years, part of NYC Television, before that on its own, is an event called the Hispanic TV Summit. It's taking place on Wednesday. Well presented, always has a great crowd, several hundred people, and well put together by Joe Schramm, former exec with AMC Networks. And I will be there again. It's a great event, a lot of good guests. They will have key reps from both Telemundo and Univision, plus a lot of the independent networks and production companies and so on. So here comes the something I'd like to see part. Something I'd like to see at this Hispanic TV Summit next Wednesday is for a major focus to be on how do we deal with getting this Spanish language scripted marketplace in the United States, produced in the United States, with Latino talent off the ground to stay. And not just a little thing here, and then maybe a number of months later, a little thing here, and then maybe a year or two later, another thing there. No, it's time to make this issue one. So here's what I'd like to see. Two things. Number one, at the Hispanic TV Summit, that we see as many of the paths as possible to deal with original programming to focus on scripted television and getting it produced in the United States. And I promise you, I intend to bring the subject up any way I can. And secondly, for everybody, Televisa Univision, Telemundo, Canela Media, Nuestra TV, etc., and the mega content services from Disney Plus to Netflix and so forth, to make it a priority that when you do Spanish language scripted programming, you do it here in the United States. You do it here, not somewhere else. And you use the U.S. Latino talent on all sides of the camera. And that way, you can distribute it elsewhere. Why not? Why not show the rest of the Spanish-speaking world what we can do here in the United States? It's time. The physical infrastructure is here. The ad infrastructure is here. The Latino talent pool is ready to go. They're chomping at the bit. And Spanish language viewers, when they can get a program, they are usually willing to catch it and watch it and be loyal to it. The time has come to really unleash the power of Spanish language scripted television and what it can offer not only here in the United States but the rest of the world, produced here in the U.S. It is time for everybody in this Spanish language television community to make this topic issue one, focus one, opportunity one. We've seen what you can do with newscasts. We've seen what you can do with sports television. We've seen what you can do with unscripted TV. We've seen what you can do with special musical specials like Premier Lo Nuestro, Premio Juventud, the Latin Grammy Awards, coming up the Billboard Latin Music Awards. You are on a par with English language television. You are already on a par in so many areas with the rest of the Spanish language television world. Now it's time to get the scripted side going, big time and all the time going forward. And next week's Hispanic TV Summit here in New York at ETC, wonderful facility on Madison Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. The dialogue starts there and expands. By the way, Duck Northwest Media sent me something in the chat room about a project called How to Survive a Marriage, created by Ann Howard Bailey. If you can explain that, and if it ties in with this subject, please get in the chat room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And by the way, I'd love to hear what you think. So we've got some time. Give us a call at that number, 646-652-2906, or put a thought in the chat room. Love to share it with the rest of the world, including the Spanish-speaking world. I know we have a lot of people from various networks all over the world that hear our show one way or another. So let's do it. And by the way, once again, in case you missed any part of the program, we have two new podcast sites that are taking our show, Anytime Player and Podknife. That's Anytime Player and Podknife. Thank you both if you're catching us on both those sites. We hope you make us a regular habit there. And for everyone catching us on podcasts, we'd love to have you join us live. So if you can't catch us live in terms in person, but you're on the road somewhere, or you're at work, or you're next to an office with an iPad or an iPod or a computer, a laptop, tune into blogtalkradio.com. Tune us on the air from wherever you are. And if you can't catch us at home, or if you're somewhere else, take down our phone number, 646-652-2906. You can always check us out wherever you are. Use that phone. Use the chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is at blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you're good to go. Okay? So do so. All right. Classic trivia question one more time. But first, some words from the great people at Liquid IV. Here's a new wellness routine that is easy to take and keeps you in a great shape. Liquid IV. It is a great-tasting drink mix in stick form that, when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get five, that's right, five essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and all that good vitamin C. Three times the electrolytes also of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors to drink, all delicious and refreshing, like Concord grape, passion fruit, and watermelon. Liquid IV is gluten-free, it's dairy-free, and it's soy-free. So just go to liquidiv.com to order, and when you do, you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code TELEVISED at liquidiv.com. That's Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures. One more time, let's give you our classic trivia question before we leave you on this Friday afternoon, in case you missed it before the top of the hour. And again, if you are first with the correct answer, we have four prizes for you. Two great musical CDs, Lifetime's Women in Rock CD with the likes of great artists like Linda Ronstadt, Michelle Schock, Laura Branigan, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Bangles, and more. And the Chicago Greatest Hits CD with great songs like Feeling Stronger Every Day, Saturday in the Park, Big with Big Sur, If You Leave Me Now, and more. We've got a free Uber card provided by AMC Network. And we have the brand new best-selling book that just became number one in its category. It's Running the Show, Television on the Inside, by our big guest last week, Jeff Melbourne, the Emmy Award-winning writer-producer of Northern Exposure and other great shows. And all of that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the 1974 CBS crime drama series starring Ken Howard. Name the 1974 CBS drama series starring Ken Howard. Two clues for you. It's a Quinn Martin production, and it's an historical drama set in the 1930s, one of the few that Quinn Martin did besides The Untouchables, his first big claim to series fame. Once again, the question, name the 1974 CBS crime drama series starring Ken Howard. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. So if you first correct the answer, you win, and we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If you have been a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, post the question Saturday morning, tomorrow morning on Facebook and X, a.k.a. Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. Do so today, and all the very best. Again, I want to thank both of our guests, Russ Kettover, the executive producer of Inside the NFL. Next episode, this Tuesday night on the CW, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. CWTV.com is where you go. And Jason Moody, the creator, and Al Moore, the executive producer of Gabriel and the Guardians, that's hopefully going to go on the air somewhere in the TV world in 2025. Equity crowdfunding campaign underway through Angel Studios, Folks Find the Chosen. For more details about that project, if you want to support it in a financial way, angel.com/Guardians. We have three episodes coming your way next week on the program, next Monday, Thursday, and Friday, all 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, coming your way a week from today. Among our guests will the Chief Executive Officer of the fast-rising smart TV plumbing service, Caffeine, Ben Kiren. And coming up a week from Monday, we'll have from another fast-rising service from smart TV sets, device, and multi-jump bundles called Nebula, we will have the Chief Executive Officer, Dave Wiskos, and the new chief creative officer, he was just appointed this past week, Sam Denby. If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on episodes from this week, make it very easy for you. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. TELEVISED. ED. And remember, we're now available on more than 40 different podcast platforms, including our newest ones, Anytime Prayer and Pod Night. We're on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, the Zencaster Creator Network. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, and many, many more. So as soon as our show is over, at 4:30 or 5 o'clock Eastern Time, go to our podcast sites, and the shows and recent episodes will be there for you. And as you may know, we now have advertising on the program. So once again, I want to thank our three initial advertisers, Cure, Laird Superfood, and Liquid IV, for joining us. Please patronize them. Remember, when you go to their website and you order their product, and I hope you do, you use the promo code TELEVISE, and you get a discount off. And by the way, we have another advertiser coming on board and others in the hopper, too. And that's all through the fine folks at the Zencaster Creator Network. Love to hear from you. What did you think about today's episode? What's your thoughts about where TV is at, where it's going? What's your thoughts about, if you're a fan of Spanish language television, are you concerned that we don't have a lot of Spanish language or the scripted TV? Maybe it's time to finally get that universe off the ground. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you anytime. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you get involved, we get involved back with you within 24 hours after you make your communication known. And we do that very simply because what you say matters now more than ever. It's our gift to you. So let's communicate. Let's keep the conversation going. That's what it's all about. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy So is BTR General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website supervised by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Why We Televised was brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being. By Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. And by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. With Why We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. To all you pro and college football fans out there, enjoy a big weekend this coming Saturday and Sunday. And we will catch you back here Monday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe. Make it great for you and others you love. Keep the thoughts and prayers coming and donations if you can for everybody still dealing with the aftermath of the Maui wildfires and the remnants of Tropical Storm recently in Los Angeles and throughout California and the Pacific Northwest. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.